When was the last time you had a conversation with Jesus in which you said to him, Lord, command me to do something? See, we're very good at telling God what to do and when to do it. Usually it's right now. We tell him what we want, what we'd like to see happen. But I suspect that it's a much more rare occasion when we ask God to tell us to do something. It's not really our customary way of praying. And yet it's precisely what St. Peter does in today's gospel. He says to Jesus, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Notice he doesn't say, Jesus, if it's you, calm the storm. Or, Jesus, if it's you, come and get into the boat with us so that we can be assured that everything's going to be okay. No, he says, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And Jesus says, come. St. Peter's faith, it would seem, is not so much about what Jesus can do for him as it is about what he can do through his belief in Jesus. It's not so much, Lord, I want you to do this. It's Peter recognizing that he can do truly extraordinary things, even nature-defying things, through his belief that Jesus truly is the Son of God. Maybe there's a hint in this for us, a hint as to why sometimes the prayers that we pray don't seem to be answered. Sometimes we get frustrated. Maybe we even lose faith a little bit. Maybe we blame God. Why haven't you answered this prayer? Or maybe even sometimes in the end, we just feel like, well, it must not have really been God's will. And so we might even abandon that prayer. But I suspect that in many of the times that we pray, we're actually asking for things from God when God is asking us to do something. So we're praying for God to do something, and God is saying, you do it. You do it. So for example, maybe there's strife in the family, and we're praying that God will make everything right, that he'll reconcile everyone so that they can get along better. God is saying, I put you into that family to be an agent of peace, to be an instrument of reconciliation and forgiveness. Not by your own strength, not by your own wit and by your own wisdom, but by the strength I will give you, he says. I'll make you an agent of healing and peace. Or perhaps we pray that God will protect and provide for those who are in need, the poor, the hungry, the homeless. We ask God to watch over them, and that's a good thing to do. But what if God is saying, I want you to take care of them. I want you to provide food for the hungry. I want you to be generous with the things that I've given you so that those who are in need can have enough. Maybe things that are even a little bit closer to home, things with illness, disease. Perhaps we're praying, Lord, heal me, cure me, or the one I love. Get rid of this cancer, for example. You know, I'm not saying we can just snap our fingers and God is saying, you take care of it. But maybe God is calling us also to a better diet or more exercise or even engaging in a spiritual regime to engage in this spiritual battle that sometimes manifests itself in physical maladies. Maybe God is asking us to do something to really fight these fights. We pray for all kinds of different things. We ask God for many, many different gifts and blessings. And sometimes we don't hear the answer, but it's perhaps precisely because God is calling us out onto the water. What if we prayed and said, Lord, command me to be an instrument of peace for my family. Lord, command me to provide for the needs of the poor and the hungry. This seems like kind of a foreign way to pray, but it's exactly the example that St. Peter gives us. Now, St. Peter obviously had deep faith that he could walk on the water by the strength of Jesus working in him. I'm sure St. Peter didn't say, yeah, I think I can handle that water. Let me just step over the edge of the boat onto it, and I'm sure that I'm so wise and, I'm such an astute disciple of Jesus that, I can handle walking on water now. No, obviously he knew it was by his belief in Jesus, and it was only by Jesus calling him onto the water that he could do it. And of course, when he starts failing, when he starts fearing, he cries out in faith, Lord, save me, because he knows that it's only Jesus who can help him in his situation. The early church, those first disciples, went out healing people, casting out demons, raising the dead, proclaiming the gospel. They knew they could through Jesus' strength working through them. So what happened between then and now? Why is it that we generally shy away from doing extraordinary things in the name of Jesus? We hear the story of St. Peter on the water and we think, oh, that's a wonderful story. Great for St. Peter that that happened. But chances are pretty slim that anything similar would happen to any of us. Why is that? Why is that? Well, I don't have all of the answers, but I was thinking about that question, and I thought it took me back to something from my childhood. When I was in third grade, I got glasses, and I wasn't very good at keeping those glasses clean. So every once in a while, I'd take them off, and I'd take a look at them and see all this dirt and grime and all kinds of stuff on my glasses, so I'd clean them. And then when I put them back on, I thought, wow, I've never seen so clearly, when in fact that was just how I had originally seen when I first got my glasses. Or let's say you have a set of knives or tools that you use on a regular basis. You know that over time, knives grow dull, tools wear out. And then when you finally sharpen those knives, you realize, wow, why was I using these dull knives? Why was I using these tools that were in such bad shape? And you realize then in that moment, how important it is to have those sharp knives, have those tools in good shape, those maintained tools, or your clean lenses, whatever the example might be. The point is, over time, we can even tend to grow dull in our faith. The lenses cloud, the knives get dull, or the tools wear out. And we're tempted to forget that we are like Peter in this gospel, that Jesus is calling us to extraordinary things by his own grace. He doesn't want a mediocre life lived. He doesn't want lukewarmness. He wants us to have that same zeal that we first had, that love of the Spirit when we discovered a relationship with the Lord Jesus. And we're so blessed in the church. We've got sacraments. We've got this long history, this great tradition that has been passed down to us through all the ages. So much good teaching that has been entrusted to us. But why aren't people breaking down the doors of the church to become Catholic? Again, I don't have all the answers, but I suspect that one of the reasons may be that so many Catholics have grown lukewarm in faith, have lost that sense of zeal that they first had when they encountered the Lord. You know, people are looking for signs these days. They see the earthquakes, the windstorms, the fires, all of that you can see in the newspaper within the last 3 weeks. But for some reason, they're not finding the Lord in all of that. They don't know to listen for that quiet voice as Elijah heard. But maybe one of the ways that they're going to encounter the Lord is by seeing how his followers, you and I, step out in faith onto that stormy water, that stormy sea, and respond to the call of the Lord. We've been given every good gift in Christ. He enables us to do the extraordinary in life. How we ought to pray then, day after day, that God will stir up within us his Holy Spirit and reawaken that zeal that we need to have in our life of faith. That zeal that not only draws others to have a life of faith, but also a zeal that gives us courage to do the mighty deeds that God asks of us so that we can truly go out and change the world.